sensing the breakthrough moment. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Lord God Almighty, your word is light. Your word gives us direction. Your word feeds us and nourishes us. Now, Lord, speak to us, and may we learn what you are speaking to us, what you are teaching us, and be revived and be made whole again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So friends, what is it all about? Sensing the breakthrough moment. In the book of Mark chapter 10, where we took this reading, we find five things that I'll be talking about, and they're all about this man, Bartimaeus. We find crisis, then we find realizing, and then requesting, then receiving, and then responding as this blind Bartimaeus interacts with the situation around him. We will walk through those five stages of his interaction. On January 28th, I preached about timely paradigm shifting, and this is a follow-up message on that because there are crises, there are crisis times that we face, and they need to be guided by God's word. May the word of God throw light on those crisis moments so that we will not be broken, we will not despair, we will not be taken astray in those crisis moments. This passage, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, also appears in Matthew and also in the book of Luke. In Matthew, we are told that there are two beggars. There are two blind beggars in Matthew. Here we read about one, and in Luke we also read about one. Perhaps the other beggar was not so famous, was not very popular. But this particular one, Bartimaeus, was known in the city of Jericho. And maybe that's why there is an emphasis on him. But at least those stories, those three accounts, are all in agreement that there was a crisis that Jesus stepped into and turned around. Praise the Lord. This is Jesus' final journey. When he meets this beggar called Bartimaeus, he is on his final journey from the north to the south, from Galilee, from Nazareth area, down to Jerusalem. And that will be his final journey, because only a few days later, he will be arrested and tried and crucified, and that will be the end of him on earth. So, Jesus must be performing his very final ministrations. And I pay a lot of attention to such things because he was very intentional in what he did in this final journey. Along this journey, he even told the disciples, things are going to get bad for me when I get to Jerusalem. Something is going to happen to me. I'll be arrested and those sinners will kill me. Ah! And the disciples were not hearing this as music. They were saying, no, Jesus. Oh, we look forward to you becoming the hero. Some of them were even campaigning. I think somewhere around this passage, they were campaigning. Who will be the greatest? I think when they lobbied and they saw Jesus was not being moved enough, two of them hired their mother to come and campaign for them. She was Jesus' auntie. So come and campaign for us. Ask the guy. One of us should sit on the left and the other on the right. When he eats the thing, when he becomes king. For them, they were in the mood of eating, in the mood of becoming powerful here on earth. Jesus knew this was his final journey, and there is a cross in Jerusalem. Pay attention to Jesus and how he ministers to this situation of crisis. I want to take you through the five stages, and we begin in verse number 46. They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. The crisis is because the man is blind, and because he is blind, he is unable to make a living out there. So he is begging. Oh, what a pity. And he must have been there for a very long time. He has been in that lifestyle for a very long time. We are not told how long, but this is a crisis which has been prolonged. Friends, there are times when we are in such crises. There are times when you've been in a situation for a long time. You are not changing. Nothing is changing. There is no room for growth. That is what I talked about last time as one of the seasons of crisis can be called midlife crisis. When you're in the same place for a long time and you are starting to get fed up with this place, time is running and that crisis is really getting to you. Getting to you. That is a type of crisis. And as I share this morning, this passage, friends, you should recover, at least recover the hope, recover some hope that this crisis is not going to remain forever. This crisis is not going to remain forever. It should not put me down. There are two different kinds of people, friends, when faced with a crisis. Two kinds of people. The first kind, they are crushed by the crisis. They are crushed by the crisis. But the second kind of people, they are hopeful even in the crisis. Both are in a crisis, but the first kind are crushed. They are torn apart. They are talking bad. They are insulting and cursing. And they are just frantically restless. And they can't change anything, but they are there really struggling and striving and boxing and hurting themselves. Ah, be careful. This man called Bartimaeus, when we read his character, perhaps he was aware that he was in a crisis, but he also was careful to manage the crisis well. To manage the crisis well. I want to counsel you. I want to give you advice. I want you to learn from the first stage of this man, the stage of crisis, and avoid being crushed by the crisis. Avoid fighting at the wrong time. Sometimes you need to live in that crisis and be calm. Amen? I feel like I'm discouraging you, but I'm going to read scriptures to back up what I'm talking about. And where I'll go first is the first reading we took, which says there is a time for everything. Are you hearing me, friends? There is a time for everything. I wish it only said there is a time to dance, but there's also a time to be quiet. Amen? There are crisis seasons upon which you should do nothing. Yes, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And somewhere you will find that there is a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep. That's verse number 4. Now, when you are weeping, and you know that this is a time to weep, you enjoy the weeping. The weeping is not so painful. People are saying, now what kind of preacher is this? But I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. There is a time to what? To weep. When that heartbreak has happened, there is a time to weep. Don't just brave yourself and say, no, I can't be, I'm strong enough through this. Read the Bible properly. Have you heard? There is a time to weep. When you have made that loss in the business, there is a time to first weep. Then you strategize.
Then there's also a time to laugh. So friends, don't remain in the weeping season forever. Tell your neighbor, don't remain in the weeping season forever.
Because there is a time to laugh. Yes, that time is also there. There is a time to mourn.
And there is a time to dance. Now, those who want to only live in the time to dance, I'm sorry for you. Yeah, there are some people who are like, they only want to live in the time to dance. They don't want the time to mourn. And so when the time for mourning comes, they are fighting to get out of the time for mourning when it's not yet time to dance. Calm down. Amen? God is in control, both in the time for weeping and in the time for laughing. He is in control both in the time for mourning and in the time for laughing, in the time for dancing. So, crisis moments are there. My prayer for you is that you will learn to manage that crisis time. Once in a while, I refer to this nice book that a friend of mine gave me. Once in a while, I go back to it and... Today, I want to read for you law number 22. When you are in the time of crisis and you are doing nothing about it, you realize it's a time to mourn or it's a time to weep. It's a time for crisis. The time for victory is not yet here. You can relate with this, which I'm going to read for you. The book I'm reading from is by Robert Greene, 48 Laws of Power. And law number 22 is entitled, Use the Surrender Tactic. Transform weakness into power. Don't waste weakness. Don't waste times of surrender and times of crisis. When you are weaker, never fight for honor's sake. Choose surrender instead. Surrender gives you time to recover, time to torment and irritate your conqueror. Time to wait for his power to win. Do not give him the satisfaction of fighting and defeating you. Surrender first. By turning the other cheek, you infuriate and unsettle your enemy. Make surrender a tool of power. This writer, I think, has also read the Bible because he's using Jesus' words, that if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek also. The point I'm making is that the time of crisis is also a time in your life, whether it's in business or in family or in a relationship, that time is there. For Bartimaeus, he was in a season blind and a beggar. But that was not the end of Bartimaeus. Let's go to his season number two, which was the season of realization. Realizing in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Actually, when you read the account of St. Luke, Luke says that this guy, Bartimaeus, first of all, heard some noise around. Then he asked, what is happening? And he was told it is Jesus of Nazareth. Realizing, he found out it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he realized that this is my moment. He sensed that this is my moment. The way he realized and said, now this is the time for me to act in this crisis. He realized. Before he realized, he did research. So when you are in a crisis moment, don't just be docile like a pupa. Do some action. Do some listening. Not necessarily that you should fight and crunch, but do some listening. Do some research. Keep alert for the time of realizing your breakthrough, sensing the breakthrough moment should arrive and find you alert and find you listening and find you able to detect this. Realizing, it came out of alertness
alertness which caused Bartimaeus to hear some noise, oluyogano, some noise. And then he asked, what is happening? And he did not ask for the... He had been alert and attentive even before. Otherwise, how would he have known that this Jesus of Nazareth is a good man? He had been alert even in his crisis. He had been hearing what Jesus was doing. Maybe he had heard about some of the miracles Jesus performed and how merciful he was. When we read how he called Jesus, we know that this blind man had been attentive. He says, Son of David. That title was a title which the people in Palestine only used for the one they believed was the Messiah, the Savior. So this blind man, although he had been in crisis for a long time, he was attentive, he was alert, he was sniffing out for that breakthrough moment. Now he realizes it has come. I want to encourage you, friends, that in your crisis, keep alert. For the time will come when it is the breakthrough moment and you need to sense it, you need to realize it. So he did this exactly as we read it. Now, stage number 3 was for him to make the request. Requesting, we would also call it petitioning. Stage number 3. And he made this request in no unclear terms. He struck. He said, this is the moment for me to just not mince words, but to make my request known. Requesting in verse 48 to 49. Do you realize that as he realized it's Jesus of Nazareth, he started by calling out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. That is his request. Have mercy on me, Son of David. He worships Jesus. If he knew the song that that prize led us through, he would just sing, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hey, so he worships the Lord Jesus and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He is requesting people rebuke him. Sometimes at that point, people will rebuke you. People will discourage you. You cannot make it. Can you resign, please? You will never rise above this level. Accept your circumstances. Those are discouragers. Sometimes they are even men of God. They are telling you, you think you can be righteous? I had a story, a very, very sad story, of a man of God, a priest, who really spoiled our name. He was vibing a member of his congregation. And the girl was refusing. Then he was quoting for her scripture. He said, no, Jesus came to save sinners. Now for you, what sin do you have? At least you accept, you repent. Jesus came to save sinners. What do you call? Do you think you are the only one? I mean, are you the only one who is so righteous, who has never done this? Can you imagine a man of God discouraging you from your walk of righteousness? So there will be men and women, whatever crisis you are in and you are now coming out of it, they are pulling you down. They are discouraging you. These people who were near Jesus, they rebuked him, told him, quiet. But he was in the time of requesting. He had realized his moment. He shouted even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to read for you one more. Law number 35 from this book. It is called the Law of Timing. Timing. And I'm sure this man must have realized it. Of course, when I talk about timing, I refer you back to the other time when I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything. When it's your breakthrough moment, that is it. Realize it. Go on with the request. Go on with the petition. Don't look back. Don't be discouraged. Don't be pulled down. It is your moment.
Master the art of timing. Never seem to be in a hurry. Hurrying betrays a lack of control over yourself and over time. Always seem patient as if you know that everything will come to you eventually. Become a detective of the right moment. Sniff out the spirit of the times, the trends that will carry you to power. Learn to stand back when it's time, when the time is not yet ripe, and to strike fiercely when it has reached fruition. Learn the art of timing. Master the art of timing. So for this Bartimaeus, the request has come. This is the moment. This is Jesus. He is passing by right here. I must shout. I must get what I want. This is my moment, the moment of requesting. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him. Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up. On your feet, he is calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I don't know how he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. You know, groping, holding somebody's hand, groping and coming to Jesus. And then, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The man now makes his request in no unclear terms. "Rabbi, I want to see." Friends, this was his time for striking. It was his breakthrough moment, and he had realized it. Hallelujah. The time will come when you must strike, when you must paradigm shift, when you must advance. And then talk to Jesus, talk to God in no unclear terms. You are right before him. His ear is inclined to your petitions. The next step, which is the fourth, was receiving. Receiving, hallelujah. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And in verse 52, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight. Hallelujah. Immediately he received his sight. I want to congratulate this blind man. And I want us to learn many lessons from him. Because even when he was blind, he had spiritual insight. There are some people in that crowd who had physical eyes, but they could not see spiritually. They were with Jesus, but they did not realize he is the Son of David. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. I hope we don't have such people even in this congregation and online and on TV listening to me. You are able to hear my English. You are able to see my illustrations and feel my moves. But you cannot realize that I'm talking about Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the one I'm talking about this today. And he is speaking to you and calling you and exposing himself before you so that you may call out and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." May the Lord give us spiritual insight. And that is the most important. Better than physical eyes. Better than the abilities physical that we may have. This guy, Bartimaeus, though he was blind, he kept researching and listening in. Earlier on, he had discovered that there is a man living in Palestine who is the Son of David, who is the Savior. Now, he was able to say that this man is passing by this place. I cannot lose my chance. The Bible says he received what he asked for. At the right time, he receives what he is asking for. Now, that's not the end. That's not the end. The Lord has answered your prayers. You have received salvation. You have received blessings. You have advanced in your academics. You have advanced in your business. You have been healed from that challenge. You have even advanced in your family life.
That is not the end. Number five was responding. Responding. The man has come from crisis. He has gone to realizing his moment. He has gone to requesting. Now he has received. The next thing was responding. The Bible says he followed Jesus along the road. Praise the Lord. This sounds like just a small ending to the story, but it's very powerful. He followed Jesus along the road. Following Jesus is very, very serious action, very serious response. When the Lord has saved you from that crisis, what is your response? Do you simply say, "Hallelujah, he saved me," and then you go your way and live your life anyhow? Responding. We must respond by following Jesus, by worshiping the Lord, by knowing that all good things have come from him and therefore they belong to him. Worship him with what you have. Worship him profusely with all the blessings he has bestowed upon you. Respond and don't just bask in what he has done and live your life at large. Responding was a very key moment in the life of this man. We have many other stories in the Bible where responding sealed the blessings those people have got. There are many people who receive blessings from God. Their response is selfish, and their blessings do not last. But there are those who receive blessings from the Lord, and their response is to worship the Lord, to follow him, to serve him, to bless him, to do his work, to do his will. And those, their victories have been sealed, have been made complete, have been made eternal. Hallelujah. So that's why I'm inviting you that we should not end at receiving and then shout aloud and dance around and say, "Yes, now it's time for us to dance." It's also time to respond and give your life and give your heart and give your all to Jesus. We sang a song on Wednesday. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. And in the final verse, it says, if the whole realm of nature were mine, it would still be an offering far too small. Because the love that Jesus has poured out, the love that God has shown to us, the love that is so amazing and so divine, demands my soul, demands my life, demands my all. Amen? Responding, giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we now finish, I want to invite you to be encouraged in the time of crisis. Hang in there while alert, while attentive, because you are hopeful your breakthrough moment is coming. Tell your neighbor, your breakthrough moment is coming. Tell another one, tell another one, tell them, your breakthrough moment is coming. So be encouraged through the crisis. And as you have heard, go through. And when the time comes, realize it. And then make your request clearly to the Lord. Believe that you will receive. And let us respond as we give our lives, our souls, our all to Jesus. Let us pray. God Almighty, we thank you for the comfort in your word. Blessed be your holy name. Your name is power. Your name is life. Lord Jesus, we remember how you've spoken and said, you are the light of the world. Those who believe in you will never walk in darkness. Those who follow you will never walk in darkness. see how this man, even when he was blind, but because he followed you up, he was able to have spiritual insight that caused him to realize his breakthrough moment. And there he is, victorious, but also giving us the example of responding, following you. We come before you in this season. We rejoice in those who endured suffering like Jenani Luwum for the sake of the kingdom. We rejoice in knowing that even in times of self-denial, times of tough and painful seasons, you are in charge. And we pray that you'll give us the spirit of discipline, the spirit of remaining calm and casting unto you every anxiety, going through seasons of crisis with confidence and hope. And we pray, God Almighty, that you'll give us the grace again and again to receive you as Messiah, as Son of David, and receive all the blessings you have in store for us. Now, friends, I want to invite those who are here and you are calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You've never given yourself fully to the Lord, and now you are saying, I want to be like that blind man and call Jesus Son of David and call him Savior and embrace him in my life. Yes, first he will save you from your sins, and he will also save you from every other crisis. In his time, he will do it. Those who would like to give your lives to Christ, just shoot up your hand. I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Give your life. Give yourself. The Lord is here. Realize your salvation has come. Give yourself because he is here. And he is here to receive you. With your hand lifted up, I want to lead you in prayer. Say this prayer firmly from your heart with your hand raised. The Lord is seeing those hands and he receives you. Say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. I repent of all my sins. I now commit my life to you. Forgive me and come into my life and reign in me. I receive you as my King and as my Savior. Keep your hand raised. Even those who are watching on TV or online, you've made this prayer. Just keep your hand raised as I pray for you. God Almighty, thank you for the gift of your Holy Word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will fall mightily upon these your servants to give them the peace that comes from you, the assurance of forgiveness that comes from you, and that they may evermore remain alert and attentive, knowing that their breakthrough moment has come now for salvation and will come for whatever crisis they are going through. And God Almighty, for all of us who have received this word, may your blessings be upon us. May we walk in the joy that comes from knowing that you are with us the whole way through, and give you glory and honor, and respond by following you all the days of our lives until you bring us to your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.